This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day.
Sports Radio 550.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is halfway. I mean, you would have thought Damien Rice wrote that. In that kind of level.
that good, huh?
Yesterday was my hump day.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
you got a shorty here. Big birthday plans?
No, none. Good. Except getting my car fixed. And maybe taking my daughter to the doctor.
Sounds swell.
That's what I think I have planned tomorrow. Not complaining.
I think age appropriate for 50 plus. That's where we're at.
The car thing. I don't know about the daughter. Like, the daughter, I started late.
Sure. Yeah, all right. But, yeah, I don't know. You're not that.
My sisters both are younger than I am. One's got a granddaughter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not a good
one
person.
One works here.
Right. I'm not the right person to ask about this because we were also late to the... We were like the old parents at hockey when the kids were little.
I am still in the let's take her in to see if she has strep phase of my parenting life.
All right. Yep.
Bills and Colts on Sunday. Andrew Catalan. And who else would that be? Tiki Barber?
Man, I saw this just... Yeah.
Last time I listened to Tiki Barber, I liked him.
I don't know the whole... You know who I liked on Sunday? I don't know what game he was on, but Jonathan Vilma sounded good wherever he was.
So he's with Kenny Albert.
Okay.
I think. So Fox.
Yeah.
Maybe a late game?
Yeah. I just caught a good chunk of Jonathan Vilma on Sunday.
Oh.
Maybe he was on...
You're the first ever to do it.
He might have been on the Eagles-Jaguars game, maybe. I don't know where he was. Anyway.
Maybe.
Kenny
Albert never makes a mistake. That guy. Yeah. One-time appearance on this show. He's a one-timer.
Mm.
So was Ryan Lindell, whose name came up.
Yep, yesterday with Ross Tucker.
Or with Eric on Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Eric, yeah, one time. So far, as of yet, one time on the show.
Right. Well, there's still time then.
Andrew Catalan, okay. The Bills have not gotten Nansen Romo yet this year. Going into week 10.
I imagine that changes next Sunday.
I would think.
It would be kind of stunning if they weren't.
Well,
doing...
we know it's not going to be Ross.
It is a CBS game for sure. I mean,
yes.
It would be kind of stunning if it weren't, I guess.
It's just about the number one game of the year, I think, in the AFC, isn't it?
Yeah, it's yeah, yes.
Going into the season.
The opener, Baltimore and Kansas City, was pretty tasty, too, of course. But early
that
in
became
the year.
A night game.
Right.
And I'm not sure, the history of the Bills and the Chiefs over the last four years.
Is better than the Ravens.
Is better.
Yeah. They've only got the one playoff meeting, right, last year.
Right. It's the game of the year in the conference. And absolutely nothing has happened this year to change that.
No.
It goes into next week as the game of the year in the AFC.
If nothing else, it's even juicier than maybe it's been other years. I mean, I don't remember the lay of the land each of these years here going into it, but You know, again, it'd be so repetitive, but if the Chiefs can drop a game on Sunday, like, you're playing for the top spot in the conference, and I don't know that that's ever been the case when these two teams have met. I feel like the Bills have always been sort of chasing.
Ooh, maybe.
Not that they're not chasing now still, too. I mean, they're two games behind the Chiefs, but of course it can swing pretty fast if a couple of things, you know, go the right way.
So it's the fourth straight season where they meet in the regular season. 2020 was here and early. COVID, no fans. Was it on a Monday afternoon? And the Chiefs won that game. The next year would be a Sunday night in Kansas City. Also pretty early, maybe like a week five-ish game. The Bills roll.
It was week five. The Bills were 3-1 going in and came out of it 4-1. So I don't know. Maybe they were – I don't know what the Chiefs' record was at that time. But
too early to really
– yeah.
This game is late enough – I think we're like, well, it's not so late, but we are definitely looking at the standings. I think maybe then you're asking, you know, what were the terms? I think maybe then it was more just revenge.
Yep.
And prove that you can beat them.
Yeah. Again, early in 22, but they beat them there to improve to 5-1. So the chasing comment, again, I don't know, the Chiefs might have been undefeated all these times. I have no idea, but like still, it's early, so early in the year, like it being just, you know.
It's too early to matter.
Like 50% further into the season, which is where we are here with this one, makes it, you know, a little tastier, I think.
Last year, going to Kansas City in December was kind of to stay alive.
Right. 6-6 was their record going in, coming out of the bye after that loss in Philadelphia. So that's definitely a year where you weren't, you know, playing for, oh, I got to topple them out of the top spot or anything like that. It was not there. It was just simply, I got a tough game. I got to win here and may have to win to the wire, which they did.
I wonder if a team has ever won two straight, just had the run of success the Chiefs have had and lost to the same team in the regular season at home 3 years in a row. Maybe in a division rivalry that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Chiefs and the Raiders or something, or Dallas and Washington. I mean, just when would that have happened? If a team, I mean, the Chiefs did not go to the Super Bowl 3 years ago. The Bengals did. But still, like, in this span of time, for the Bills, it's almost cruel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you hate it when I mention this. Because, so what? What is it worth that the Bills beat them 3 years in a row in Arrowhead Stadium? Not a lot. There's no banner.
It's not worth nothing, though. I mean, wouldn't it feel a lot different playing them each of these regular seasons like they've had to if the regular season meetings were like the playoff meetings? We'd be feeling like you just can't beat this team. So even though they haven't been able to do it in January, I don't it tweaks me, but I don't hate it because it's factually correct. And I think, you know, not for everyone. Sure, there are probably plenty of fans that when you say that, go, yeah, thanks for telling me that, Shoop. They can't beat them in January. Wow. Sorry, I'm leaning into it.
But it's positive. They wouldn't use that voice if it was positive.
No, this is the negative side of it, I'm saying. Like it would be they can't beat them in January. I don't care, Mike, that they can beat them in September or you know, whatever. But I think a lot of fans, I'm one, I feel like the fact that they beat them three times in a row in the regular season all there tells me they could do it in January. They're not prohibited. And I know if they were losing all these games in the regular season too, they also would not be prohibited. But it would just, the wall would seem a lot higher to climb to me.
Well, you know, use it or don't use it, but the last time I think I or we talked to Aaron Schatz about like this series between the Bills and the Chiefs. He's like, I don't know if it was even the Chiefs that was the context, but he's like, I'm not somebody that thinks playoff football is really that different than regular season mm-hmm. football. And I'm so like him in that way. The last four times they've played, whenever it was, were one play games. One play, you know, or whatever, one or two plays were the difference. They're all one score. It's 13 seconds, which obviously quintessentially is an example of a game like that. The 24-20 win the following season in Kansas City. I don't know. There was a Von Miller play in that game, I think.
Yeah. For like fourth quarter, he made like back-to-back drives he shut down, basically.
Then you have the Kadarius Toney offside play last year, and then you have the playoff game here, which are all just these two teams are very even. I wonder, though, whether it's Bills fans or not, if you ask people right now, just like straight up, who wins between these two teams? You know, like who's better, or just who's better this year is a good question. Who would you expect to win between these two teams is a fine question. You know, any of that, just how bad would it look? How many people would not give the Bills, would not make the Bills the pick in a poll like that? Would it just be like, because so many people, I hear it almost every day. Whether it's friends or it's fantasy football, or I don't know, if I'm randomly stuck in a building that's showing ESPN or something, and it's just like, you know, this is the conversation. It's just all the time you hear, you know, the Chiefs are just going to win. And I just refuse to accept that. It the more times they win, the more I feel, the stronger I feel that they'll lose the next one.
Right.
Which, you know, has been wrong this year. Pretty much week after week. But I don't know. Like, four straight meetings. The year before that, the Bills win easily there. The game before that is the AFC Championship, in which the Chiefs win pretty easily. So, my mom is texting right now. She's like, what about Indianapolis? She's not happy that we're skipping over Indianapolis. But anyway, so, you know, these recent, this six games, or even just the four games.
I'm Mike's mom, by the way.
Are all, I made that up, are all pretty, like, coin flip games.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a couple things here. I also don't subscribe to they can't beat this team in January because it hasn't happened yet. I just think that that's the sort of absolute talk that I just don't ever really want to be a part of. Because, and that's where having beat them 3 years in a row does matter to me. Like, I don't think it's meaningless. Again, I think if they had dropped all of those regular season meetings, it would feel like I'm dealing with New England again. And I know I'm not. I know that I've seen my team do it. And I've even seen them be really close to doing it in the playoffs, too. And I know close doesn't get you anything, but it would feel different if every one of these games looked like, I mean, duh, like the AFC title game at the end of the 20 season, where you're just out of their league, which is how that game really looked. I think the gap is very slim. But with that said, like I don't subscribe to they can't do it, or they just forget it. It isn't going to matter. They're just going to lose to them in January. But you asked me to make a pick on the game, like it for a stake that matters, like my life depends on it or something. It's hard to not pick Kansas City. They have been the better team. They've beaten you when it matters. So I can't, like, you know, separate that. Like, objectively, who do I think has the better chance? I mean, I don't know. The team that wins more often probably has the better chance, but I don't buy. They can't do it because like 13 seconds happened or something. Like, I don't believe in that.
Man, the Bills are just so agonizingly close from being the boss in that series. And I think to some that would just sound laughable, but 13 seconds should never have happened. Last year could have gone the other way. I'd never thought of that game as one the Bills should have won, per se.
No, the break they got on the fumble at the half-yard line sort of really takes you out of that.
And the break the Chiefs got by the Bills calling a fake punt and a handoff to DeMar Hamlin when Josh Allen is on the team.
I just remembered that.
Yeah.
Well, it is still next week. We'll have time. But it's just it's so great.
Yeah.
Bills at Colts this Sunday. Kansas City home to Denver, a bigger favorite than the Bills are on the road. 803-0550 for your calls. We have open lines this hour and off and on throughout the day. We'll have Joe Goodberry with us, talk a little Cincinnati Bengals. Alex Gold yesterday, speaking to the Chiefs, came on and said he thinks the Bengals are done. I don't know. I'm not there. They're still live to me, and that seven seed is pretty available. to a team like that, I think. But we'll see what Joe
thinks.
The
Steelers holding down a spot is what gives me still hope for Cincinnati. Like, I feel like Cincinnati could track them down.
Well, that's two teams then.
Right.
Because you've got Denver right now, I think. Cincinnati plays Denver. They play the Chargers, too, coming up on Sunday night. That game got flexed in. I think that's, what, week 11 next week? And I was looking at the Sunday night schedule, so not knowing, maybe Sal does, I'm not sure anybody does, not knowing whether, like, which games are protected by CBS and Fox, but week 15, when the Bills are in Detroit, that's amazingly, after all those years of preseason fun between the Bills and Detroit, that's pretty good. The Sunday night game that weekend is Green Bay at Seattle. What do you think?
I don't think that has to. I mean, there's those, when do we got to decide by? Like, we got a couple weeks.
Got about
still?
A month. Got about a month.
That doesn't sound like a game that needs to be moved. Like,
Green Bay at Seattle?
Yeah, I think both of those teams could be in contention for playoff spots by then.
Or Seattle still could be dead by then. But
they could be dead by then. If they're dead, if they look close to dead after a couple more weeks, then maybe. But I think they're still hanging on. That whole division is just around 500.
Big markets, either.
No.
I feel like that game's vulnerable. That game should watch its back. Mm-hmm. Green Bay at Seattle. Mm-hmm. I don't know Buffalo, Detroit, but you got to love that.
Well, Buffalo, Detroit, certainly the better game. I mean, I don't know, market-wise, it's... Well, Detroit's pretty big.
Do you think maybe Dallas at Carolina would get the...
Oh, God.
Get the nod?
Poor Carolina.
Poor Carolina.
It's the Giants at Carolina, like the quintessential game to be played from Europe this week. I mean, it's just like the... You're going to get up... If you don't pay attention, really, right? You just sort of... you have a Saturday night. You get up. Coffee on, turn the TV on. Sorry, I'm squinting like I'm barely awake here for effect, even though you're the only one who can see me and maybe Zach. Scrolling. Oh, there's football. Oh, Giants, Panthers.
It's bad.
I'm going out for breakfast. I'm not sitting here watching this. I'll get back at 1 o'clock.
It's kind of the worst thing about fantasy football obsession. The obsession is that no matter who's playing, Thursday night, Sunday morning, you have to care.
You want to be in on it.
Yeah. You have to be prepared for it. So I don't have to watch the game, but I have to know like who's active, Jonathan Brooks, all of this. I have to know everything about it. You know, so that maybe is the worst part because the rest of it, most of the rest of it, is fun. But
sure,
feeling beholden to watching the Giants and the Panthers is not
theoretically
exactly fun.
I like when there's a game at 9:30 in the morning, but I don't think I'll be real happy about this one.
I've missed it. It was this Sunday or the week before. I think the week before I was home alone the whole morning. Like I kind of would love to have a game on right now. So I missed it. Sal coming up at 5. Keon Coleman, it doesn't sound great. McDermott wouldn't rule him out for this Sunday. But he did also say it might be more than just one game for Coleman. So I wonder what they're trying to figure out. Like, what he's got shouldn't take that long to figure out, but whether he can play through it. And sometimes with those, a coach wants to be really careful with his words. Because it can be pain tolerance. It can be... I thought it was interesting last week. We haven't talked about it at all. And he wasn't specific to which player. But after the game Sunday, it was who? It was Cooper and Benford that both missed the game kind of last minute. And McDermott said how one of them told him he just didn't feel right. And I don't know who that would be. I wouldn't want to guess who that would be. But like you can just be kind of waiting on – that might be different than this or not.
Right.
You're sort of waiting on the player. And if it takes all week, then it does, to get to a point where you have to decide on whether he's willing to try it. I don't know. Like it doesn't sound – so definitive that I would be necessarily worried long-term for Coleman because, I mean, if he's got a break or something, he can just say that. He goes to IR.
Right.
And
the fact that they haven't IR'd him, I think, is encouraging. And I would guess you're sort of starting to go down the right rabbit hole on that. Like that McDermott wouldn't want to put it on the player. Because as soon as you say anything like it's a matter of pain tolerance, I know how I've reacted to that. I don't really know. I can't think of an instance where McDermott has used that phrasing. Maybe he's very careful not to, because when you say it, it sort of puts it on the player. Like he can't suck it up and go. And that's a tough spot to put a player in. And so I think you want to try to avoid that. I think whenever I hear that phrasing from a coach, I sort of bristle. I just think like, they don't like this guy, is what I think when I hear that. Like, you know what I mean? They're trying to make him look like he's the problem by saying that. And maybe there's no intent at all there. Maybe it's just factual, it's pain tolerance, and you know, you can't tolerate it, you can't do it. But I still think it puts the player in a bad position. So I'm not surprised to see McDermott avoid that sort of phrasing, but I'll bet if he doesn't need surgery and isn't going on IR, it's just a matter of how soon do you think you can function with this thing, whatever it is, whatever that injury is.
I want to think Cooper will be back.
Me too.
So maybe that's, you know, even better than a push, right? It probably should be.
Sure, yeah.
Which guy would you rather have? Must-win game.
I would rather have Cooper for a must-win
game. Me too, I think.
Yeah.
Cooper, go ahead.
I feel like Coleman is really trending upward, and I hate that this happened. The timing of this, I think, is pretty tough for them and for him. Because I think he could really contribute down the stretch here. And hopefully this thing won't prevent him from doing that. Maybe as soon as the next game. Like I know they're not ruling him out, but the way McDermott sounded about it, like we just talked about, I'd be stunned if he played on Sunday.
I think I would be too. So Cooper, I don't know. Maybe this is a little bit of a misread, but I think with him, it's going to be kind of all or nothing in games. And I wonder what the all looks like. The Bills didn't.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get him to give him 14 targets in a game, right? That's not their offense. Why do they get Amari Cooper? He's an upgrade. It's depth, just sort of by design when you add a player like that. And it might be, which I think is what the whole season is about, that one game, that one play in that one game where you have a guy who can beat his man, who can catch the ball, contested catch, whatever it is, who can make the play, where the next guy you had on the team would be just less likely to do it. I doubt we get big. Like Cooper had a game for Cleveland against Houston last year where he was like, I mean, I should look, but 15 for 200 or something like that with Flacco, end of the season in the fantasy playoffs. And I just doubt there's ever that game in his range of outcomes here.
Diggs didn't even have that game. I mean, Diggs had big games, but I mean that's franchise record type performance.
And
so I'm also not expecting that. I think the purpose he serves, that's why Coleman being out potentially even just for 1 week hits a little harder now, cuz I just feel like the signs are there that Cooper, even if he doesn't have 8 catches in a game, is going to provide you with cover for the other guys, so to speak. It all flows downhill. Matchups are all different. Bracketing guys, trying to take guys away, messing with Allen, different looks and stuff. You just got to approach it differently if you have a guy that commands attention. And they were lacking that, and now they have it. And I think that is the value of Cooper, to me, goes beyond, you know, what ends up in the catch column. You know, obviously you want some production there too. And certainly, you know, big plays, key plays at key moments would be really nice. But I think he provides a lot just being there.
It hasn't been really exactly worth it yet because on one hand, because he has 5 catches in 3 weeks. Didn't play in the third game, 1 catch against Seattle.
Right.
But how it goes, if you win, it's all good. And they're 3-0 in those games, mm-hmm. so it's fine.
Like, and in two of them, their passing game looked as good as it's looked all year, I would say, even though he didn't blow up the stat sheet.
You're leaving out Miami. Or are you leaving, right?
Yeah.
You're counting Tennessee and Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay. 803-0550. What is one change maybe you would make with the Bills? Personnel, strategy, anything like that? It feels like the season really is just starting now. Or maybe next week is when that happens. But halfway through, looking good in the standings. How do you feel? 803-0550 for your calls. Joe Goodberry, Sal Capaccio, as we go through the day. Thanks for listening. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Jordan Phillips, you know, was released from his other team, as was Q. So who knows where that'll go, right? They haven't played a lot, either of them, with their old clubs. So we've got to see if they're in shape and fit to play and just take it one step at a time. So we'll see where that goes.
Sean McDermott, so are they signed or no? Phillips and Quentin Jefferson.
Oh, yeah, they're here. They were, yeah. Well, okay. Phillips then, I saw running around. I didn't, like, today.
So see where that goes is, like, how good they look and whether we play them or not, he means.
I suppose, yeah.
They're already on the team.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're not trying out. And I don't know. I mean, they need help up there, I think. I'm not sure how much help they should expect from these guys. Phillips to me is like he flashes and looks really good, but he just can't stay on the field. Like that to me is Jordan Phillips, or he's battling through. He has some harness on his shoulder or something. He's compromised, and then the flash goes away, and that's tough. But you know, in spots, he's been really good for them. I just don't know if I'm ready to, you know, commit to counting on it. So I don't know. Maybe we're looking at, you know, 15 snaps a game type of stuff.
9.5 sacks.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Right.
That seems pretty good.
Yeah.
So
it's
only
a long time ago now.
Only players who have been on the Bills already. The Bills are the new Panthers, where the Bills just go get guys who played for the Bills. That's what they do, instead of guys who played for the Panthers.
Mm.
Obada is another one. I don't believe he was brought in, but he was, I think, released by Washington yesterday. It's got to be room for him, right? F.A. Obada?
I don't think anymore. They're at 53, well, Mike.
Time to make another roster move. Mm. Get him back in here. Do you have any hope for Curtis Samuel?
No. No. I mean, it's 9 games in.
One of which he missed, but yes.
Okay.
You're right. 12 catches.
No, I. It would be amazing if he really contributed. Now,
why should that be so hard?
I don't know, but it's 8 games for him in, and it just has not happened. And so I don't know if it's health. He's still on the injury report with something now. So I'm going to assume he's, if that's been the problem, that's still a problem. And I'm willing to feel like, all right, we got a couple of months to go here. It's probably going to linger and like whatever. I don't know. At this point, the best I'm hoping for is that he's a guy that, you know, they're still dressing when he's healthy and he gets snaps. But we haven't seen anything, and then there's a moment. Didn't Marquez Valdez-Scantling catch like a 40-yard pass against the Bills in the playoff game last year after having a horrible year and the lead the league in drops and all this stuff? And what did I say leading up to that game? It always worries me when the big criticism of a team is they're dropping the ball all the time, because what if they don't? And then that dude shows up here and, oh, sure. Maybe Samuel hits us with one of those in January or some big game here, maybe even in 2 weeks against the Chiefs. Like, oh my God, Curtis Samuel, he did a thing. They gave him a jet sweep and he went 40 yards. Like, you know, but consistent.
Man, I'd love to try that.
Production, I just don't think it's going to happen. I feel like there'd be some sign of it. Like, there's not even signs of it. Like, he barely plays. So, no, I don't feel like there's a game coming. We're like, oh, we've been waiting. Let's unleash Curtis Samuel now. I don't know. I'm not expecting that.
I'm sorry if I'm remembering this wrong, but was it 2020 when the Bills... So the Bills had 13 different players catch at least one touchdown pass that year. That's Kumerow against Denver, the play that Allen talks about. That's... Isn't it Dawkins, maybe, in New England? Or that's a different year. It's not Dawkins, but 13 different guys. Do you remember there being like a season when the Bills were like setting a record for how many different players it was to catch a touchdown pass?
I think that's the year, because I'm looking through it now. Yes, I've got the stats open. There's one name to me that when they threw the touchdown to that guy, I felt like, they're just trying to do a thing here. They're trying to get to a number that they've never been to.
And it's not Kumerow?
It is not Kumerow. No. Okay. You want it?
Yeah.
TJ Yeldon.
Okay.
Caught a touchdown pass in 2020.
Tennessee, I think.
Josh Allen also caught a touchdown pass that year.
Okay. Well, they're already at 10, you know.
Okay.
This year.
Yep.
10 different guys. And I don't think Samuel is one of them. He doesn't have a touchdown catch yet, does he?
Almost definitely not.
No, he doesn't.
Let me get back here.
He does not.
Okay.
They have 17 touchdown receptions. It's to 10 different guys. That's everybody eats, right?
Yeah, definitely that is everybody eats.
Coleman and Hollins have 3. Shakir, Kincaid, Ty Johnson have 2. And then one each for Cook, Davis on Sunday, Knox, Cooper against Tennessee, and Morris
against Miami
on Sunday. MVS, that's going to be tough now because he's on the Saints.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get there. And so it's, yeah, the only guy on the team currently listed with a reception that doesn't have a touchdown
is Samuel.
Is Samuel. He and Scantling are the only zeros there. And like you just said, Valdez-Scantling is gone now. So, like, who are guys that could get there? I mean, I guess a lineman could always catch a touchdown pass.
Jalen Virgil.
Right.
Shavers.
Sure, those guys.
Practice squad
KJ
guys.
KJ Hamler.
There's no more trade possibility.
No. So they're going to have a hard time getting there. Exceeding 13, I think, is what I'm saying here.
Gilliam.
Yeah.
If he comes back.
Yeah.
Could get you one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's not on this list here because he doesn't have a single catch yet this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure, he could get one.
Bass, we're still waiting for that.
Mm. Yeah. Boy, that's a play.
Fake field goal.
That's a play they're sitting on.
Yep. Fake field goal, Martin, the holder, to Bass, like Brian Mormon and Lindell, something like that. Or what was the play? Against Seattle, it wasn't Lindell involved. It was Brian Mormon.
And Ryan Denny.
Oh, so good. That's
I
right.
think that's the play I'm thinking of.
Let's get an Allen one. Let's get Samuel in and one more, and we're at our 13 to tie the 2020 mark, if that is the team record. I'm not sure that it is, but you seem pretty confident.
I feel like that was, again, I think I don't have the game right. You said Tennessee was maybe Yeldon. And
yeah, they got blown out in Tennessee, and I think he caught a touchdown pass late in that game. I'll double check.
Then I'm thinking of a play later in the season where they fed someone who, like, just you wouldn't think of as someone who should be catching a touchdown pass. And I was like, oh, they're just so leaning into trying to get just trying to get set a record.
It's not Kumerow.
No, it is not Kumerow.
Tennessee checks on Yeldon.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe it was Gilliam later in the year. Maybe that was late in the season for Gilliam, is what I'm thinking of. But no, Kumerow was the game in Denver. They clinched the division, and so it wasn't so far. You know, it was near enough the end of the year, but still, it wasn't. It didn't trip a wire for me like, oh, they're trying to do something. I feel like it was a Gilliam or a Yeldon or someone like that.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's one feather in the cap of the offense. I think this is generally a good thing. Although, it's also, like we've been over and over all year, a good thing when you have one guy that really can't be stopped. Like, that's not bad. That's not worse, necessarily. They don't have big yardage production going here or anything like that, but they have They have gotten touchdown passes to 10 different players in 9 weeks. So there's something to be said for that. I mentioned before the last break, is there something you would change about them? You'd like to see be different, whether that's personnel, something about how they play. Do you have anything like that that comes to mind?
I'm all right. Do you want something like faster starts or whatever? I think that when they feel like they can throw it on someone, they'll do it, and I'm fine with that. I guess I would like a little less. It feels like some of these slow starts are coinciding with like the same run plays to James Cook. And so I feel like early down runs, again, if you think that's your matchup, you want to do it, I'm all right. Like, their offense is still super productive to me. I don't have a problem with how they're necessarily going about it. Like, I'm not one who's going to complain they're running too much or anything like that. But the choices on some of those plays, I feel like, leave a lot to be desired. Like, you're starting games, especially I think the Tennessee game was an example of this. Like, they started that first half when they were sort of sleepy offensively. I feel like it was the same like run play to James Cook every first down. And I know that's probably not exactly true, but it sure felt like just easy to be stopped. So maybe something a little different there. Like, if you want to run it again, I'm fine, but maybe even just start the game off with Ray Davis. Is that heresy? I don't know. If you want to run it, I'm okay. But, you know, I want to stop short of sounding like, as long as it works. I feel like they've been kind of predictable in some of that part of it.
Miami's the same thing, isn't it? The last game is kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I think so. So I would go there. I think that feels like maybe what is responsible for the quote-unquote slow starts they've had. I don't know why I say quote-unquote. They've started slow. So I might like a little more variety there to start games.
I like that point.
But everything else, like personnel usage, you know, I think when everybody's healthy, you know, we're only talking about one game here, but Hollins, his snap count went down, but it went back up last week because Cooper didn't play. So I think when Cooper got here, Hollins would probably be the guy that I would want to see his snap share go down, and that happened. But with somebody out now, Coleman out, I think is probably the same thing. That's an outside receiver, and so Hollins is probably going to play, not that he ever doesn't play at all, but he'll probably play a little more than I would choose if Coleman can't go.
We don't know yet, and we probably won't know today on Coleman just sort of what the plan is. The next thing, I mean, positively, the next thing to hear for is if he's back at practice, of course. But that doesn't sound imminent. The other side of that would be to hear if he goes to IR. If he goes to IR, that's 4 games missed, not even weeks. They have the bye week after the next 2 games. So you wouldn't, if he did go to IR, you wouldn't see him until Detroit, which is December 15th.
And they could still end up there, I suppose. I think I sounded in the first segment of the show today like him not going to IR is a positive sign. And for now, that's true, but they haven't played a game yet.
That could change.
So they're not, it's like they wasted a week here yet. I mean, as long as they get to it, if that ends up being the result, they could still get to it before Sunday and not have him miss any more time than they would want.
That's week 15, December 15th in Detroit, when it will probably be, I mean, it could even be like into the 50s by then. The way things are going this year.
Right.
It might even be that cold.
Right.
By mid-December. Joe Goodberry will talk Bengals and AFC stuff with Joe at 4. Sal Capaccio joins us at 5. Phone lines are open for you. 803-0550. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back. We've got Joe Goodberry coming up at the top of the hour. Also, Sal Capaccio today. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. The Sabres are off to Manhattan to play the Rangers tomorrow night after last night's pretty smooth 5-1 win over Ottawa. Pretty even game, but got the goals.
Yeah.
And the saves.
Yeah, they got some, some really nice saves, and I was a little... After they gave up the goal to make it 2-1 in the second, I thought they really wilted. And Ottawa, I think, had the better of it, but they opened the third period with two goals and whatever.
37 seconds?
Yeah, like 16 seconds apart, but within the first...
Right.
Yeah, it was tremendous. So... good response. You know, I mean, they came out and took it right back. And from there, yeah, they just sort of cruised.
Let's go to Greg here. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Greg? Show Bulldog. Did you guys hear the McDermott interview today?
No.
So he was asked by a reporter, how is Cooper acclimating to the team? And McDermott's reply was to give you an accurate reading that he's been spending as much time in the training room as he has been on the practice field, so I can't answer that. And I know that he doesn't have the Dean personality, but I just thought it was just such an inappropriate way to answer a question about this stud who we're lucky to have on the team. I mean, he could have said, you know, unfortunately he's been hurt. You know, he's a sharp guy. He'll pick up the playbook. But you definitely have to listen to that interview because I was scratching my head afterwards. I know when he was initially asked a question before he came to the team, McDermott was asked about his leadership, and McDermott said, well, you know, we haven't met him yet, so I can't answer that question if he's going to be a great leader. I just think that, I don't know. I know sometimes you read into the way McDermott has these ways of saying things, but maybe some of the other listeners listened to that interview, and there was nothing that he said that if Cooper heard it, he'd be like wanting to run through a brick wall for this coach.
Okay.
So that was just my comment. I just wish that he had the gift to motivate everyone the way that he'll motivate certain players, but it seems like Cooper's not on that list right now for McDermott to be backing them.
Okay, you might be right. There was something else he said that was pretty quick when Cooper was acquired that also had me thinking that way, but I didn't hear what was said today. I just have to assume that you're right, and maybe it's a good read. I don't know, but the motivating players really shouldn't or doesn't happen through press conferences, though. You can say the wrong thing, and that's kind of the caller's point.
Yeah,
but you want to think that. That really happens one-to-one, you know?
Yeah. I'd be disappointed to learn that he said it that way. If the caller's portrayal is 100% accurate, I think that's a pretty sloppy job by McDermott. I don't know if he would have a reason for wanting to say it that way. I mean, didn't you mention earlier somebody, one of the two, was close?
Yeah, but didn't feel right.
Right.
On Sunday, he said
right.
That. Yeah.
So maybe there's, I don't know. I don't want to keep digging. Again, I didn't hear it myself either. But if that's an accurate portrayal of what he said, it's a sloppily worded way to answer that, I would say.
Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Joe Goodberry, After Sports, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.